Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. I hope everybody is safe out there with the snow on the ground and the cold temperatures this morning. Road conditions not great out there in this area. So if you don't have to be out, my advice is probably don't need to be out today here on the roadways. Hope everybody is as safe as possible. Joe, I know there was, I was just seeing report after report of tractor trailers sliding off the road and turning over and all kinds of nastiness yesterday, both on the interstates and just kind of on local back roads here as well. We had some issues up in Robertson County of all sorts of chaos on the roadways yesterday.
Yeah, it was dicey. A really well-planned trip by me to Knoxville. Two hours and 40-minute drive turns into a five-hour drive. Three semis flipped over along the way. So many cars in ditches. Just some people, you know, it's just here and there. You got someone blowing past you at 70. You're like, do not do this. But even like here on around Nolensville Pike, I was going, the roads had started to turn icy. I imagine today they're icier than that. But like there was a car that actually slid past me, trying to go up a hill and slid past me, going the other way. And I was like, either I hit the gas right here or I'm going to do the same thing. So yeah, it was dicey, man. And you just got to hang in there. And then I think tomorrow afternoon, you're going to start seeing the melting come.
Hopefully so. That would be great. Seeing some of the roadways melt off a little bit. I don't think there's any question about that. Let's go to our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris texting in says he's en route to Indy right now on the sidelines shooting Monday night's game. Let's hope for a good game. Not a fun drive to get there and going to freeze my butt off this weekend, but Monday night should be fun. Chris, we hope you are safe on your way to Indianapolis.
He says shooting?
Yeah.
Okay, so Chris Hainwinkle, I assume?
Could be.
If so, give us a thumbs up. Awesome photographer. Good luck.
Absolutely.
Well, go to Shapiro's Deli.
I think we're all hoping for a good game on Monday night, and I think we'll get one. Like, I don't think we're going to see a blowout either way. I would be surprised if it's a blowout on Monday night in the national title game. I've made no secret about it. I trust Alabama in these situations more than I do Georgia. So until proven otherwise, I'm going to ride with Nick Saban and Alabama. But I do think it's going to be a pretty awesome game, even though – you know, the country can act like they have Alabama fatigue or Alabama Georgia fatigue or Alabama Clemson fatigue, whatever the case may be. I bet the ratings for this one are pretty good coming up on Monday.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And I understand the fatigue conversation for sure. I had a little conversation with Steve Cavendish on Twitter about this, and he was basically, to paraphrase, like, he just didn't think people would be excited about this. And I'm like, you know, maybe the casual fan you lose in something like this, I think there's a lot of just SEC fatigue. And it's like, oh, this again. I'm sure there would be more sort of casual fan, maybe not hardcore college football fan, excitement about just having a different name in there or something. But as a college football fan, and it's not like I'm like a lifelong SEC honk or anything. I'm really excited about this game. I'm fascinated by it. I still don't totally understand how Alabama did some of the things they did in Atlanta. I guess more and more I kind of dismissed what you said going into the game, which was, well, Georgia knows they're in the playoff. And I was like, yeah, but it's Alabama. It's the SEC championship. Like, how are they not jacked up for this? And they played well early, but maybe there is something to that. I don't know. I've watched a lot of Georgia this year, and what they did to Michigan was Georgia. And what they did in that game was not Georgia. I got to think that they're going to look like Georgia. And I agree with you. I mean, I think that's going to lead to a great game because Alabama at its best is obviously great. And although the offense is a little bit clunky against Cincinnati, that's two straight performances by the defense. And really go back even like the Auburn game, not that their offense is great, but I think the defense has kind of found a little bit of consistency with Bama.
Well, the big question in this game, and I think you would agree with this, is can Alabama's offensive line handle Georgia's defensive line the way that they did in the first matchup? I mean, if they can, I don't think Georgia's got much of a chance in this game. If they can and Georgia's defensive line looks more like what it's looked like all season long, then that's going to present problems for Alabama. Like you said, I think everybody was kind of blown away by how Alabama was able to do that in the SEC title game. And then you go back and you watch Georgia play against Michigan, and you're like, oh, yeah, those guys are still pretty darn good. I'm interested to see what that matchup looks like coming up on Monday.
That, I mean, that made no sense to me. I couldn't – I'm sitting there and I'm like, I mean, at times Georgia sent in extra people, and still – it made no sense other than, by the way, most of those linemen are going to be in the NFL, but they just hadn't played like that this year.
Yeah.
You know, it just, so that was, hey, good on them for stepping up. I have my doubts they're going to be able to do that again, but we'll see. I agree. That's a huge key to this game. Yeah, line of scrimmage game, it always is. And the SEC, that's where the SEC is just different. And that's why we have these matchups often because, and I've heard so many coaches talk about this, you know, everybody has good skill players. And there's great quarterbacks all over the country. There's great receivers, whatever. But the really athletic, disruptive, you know, defensive linemen, and then also the really athletic offensive linemen, that's where the SEC is just has such a higher concentration of players like that. And that's why they're playing again in this game.
There was some interesting news on the Tennessee front yesterday. Tyler Barron and D. Beckwith entering the transfer portal. Look, I don't know that the D. Beckwith thing is all that surprising or really, quite frankly, that big of a deal. I know Tennessee fans love him some D. Beckwith because they look at how big he is and they're like, oh, well, that could be Derrick Henry 2.0. And, you know, I know every time there's a large running back now, there's like, oh, well, Derrick Henry out there. But I'm not necessarily surprised that he's in the transfer portal. The Tyler Barron one is interesting. You know, when he was on the field this year, I thought he's a pretty good player for Tennessee. Now, he had some injury issues, and staying on the field at times was a problem. But Tyler Barron entering the transfer portal, not what you want to see if you're a Tennessee fan who, like, if you look at that team on defense, you need all the playmakers you can get on that side of the ball.
By the way, when they lined up all the Tennessee quarterbacks on media day, including clear best quarterback of the four, Joe Milton, Brian Maurer actually, like, unprompted was like, man, D. Beckwith is just like Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the D. Beckwith thing
the
is
the exact same.
Yeah, right. Anybody who's tall, it's Derrick Henry. Yeah, that's not surprising or a big deal. Tyler Barron is that's a big deal. I mean, this defense already needs more playmakers. They needed more playmakers to join Barron and Byron Young. And I do I'm a pro Jeremy Banks guy. I know some people aren't. I like how he's developing, but they're losing playmakers to secondary. Like, they really need Tyler Barron and more. And now they're losing him. And word comes yesterday. I saw this. A lot of people reporting this. Trey Wallace and Adam Sparks, you know, that his dad had resigned as director of player development, but not like this is that had already happened. So, one, you got a player who, you know, during the Pruitt era signed with Tennessee with his dad as the director of player development, very Pruitt like. I don't know what if that means he's in the portal and forget about it, or is it possible that he's in the portal seeing what's out there and still might decide to come back? Boy, the Tennessee should really hope for the second one of those.
Yep, they should. He's obviously, when you have him and, you know, Byron Young getting out there on the end of the season as well, making some plays. I mean, I think you feel good about that. If you're Tennessee, not having him would be a blow. I know, you know, Tennessee and Josh Heupel closed down, you know, and they got some edge guys coming in with their recruiting, which they pulled together and did a pretty good job in the last couple weeks before the early signing period. But still, I mean, when you're talking about freshmen coming in, that's not exactly who you want holding down that spot.
Yeah, it's just hard. I mean, look, you have a better chance probably of a freshman edge coming in and making a difference than like a freshman interior lineman. But yeah, usually, like, you need a year. You need a year in the weight room. You need a year. I mean, I'm sure those guys will play, but like you can't have super high expectations for them right away. So look, I mean, the portal is going to, I think, still benefit Josh Heupel moving forward too. You got to keep that in mind. But that one, yeah, a little bit of a stunner because I really thought those two guys, really, if you looked at the defense, where are they good? That's what I looked at. Like, okay, a good offseason for Barron and Young. I mean, Young is a talent, you know, but boy, it makes a difference to have Barron on the other side of him. I really thought that might be where they can compensate a little bit for some of what they're lacking elsewhere.
And we found out in the Music City Bowl that Byron Young can drop back in coverage too. Just throwing the ball on the sideline.
He can do it all. Harold Landry.
That's right.
He can get a pick one of these days for the Titans. You know, people get mad whenever he drops.
When we come back, we'll take another look at the Titans and the Texans, give our keys to victory for the Titans coming up this weekend in Houston. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This week, we have a triple header of NFL action, starting with the Cowboys versus the Eagles, coming up at 7:15 on Saturday on ESPN 94.9. On Sunday at 3:25, tune in for the Seahawks and the Cardinals on 102.5 The Game, and the Niners and the Rams on ESPN 94.9. A big one there. NFL games of the week on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you. Michelle, this could be an emotional weekend for your Steelers fandom. Could be Ben Roethlisberger's last game coming up on Sunday.
This is big stuff. It was pretty emotional on Monday, all the vintage Ben videos they were showing and all the just old highlights, and it's like, wow, these last two seasons kind of put a little, okay, it's time. But you see some of the old plays he made, and it really brings back the glory days. But it's time to move on. Sorry, Ben, he had his last game at home. But I actually think it'll be a good game against the Ravens, but I think they need the Jags to win in order to get in the playoffs, correct?
Yes.
Hey, that was my called shot. I mean, you never know.
There you go. I expect that in Pixie and Pick'em. Yeah, there's a lot of like, we love you, Ben. You're the best. But I didn't hear anybody saying, Ben, come back.
Come back for another year.
Thanks, though. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah, he was
goodbye.
A great
we love you. Please leave.
Quarterback for a good period of time. But
he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any question about that.
Oh, for sure.
He's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
But we need to get a young gun in there, develop, and it's a turn the page, new chapter.
Josh Dobbs, quarterback of the future of the Steelers, Joe Rex Road.
Oh, man, I'm all in. I am all in on that.
We'll just take Aaron Rodgers next year.
Well, there are Pittsburgh fans that legitimately believe that's about to happen. So I guess we'll see.
What about my guy, Captain Kirk?
Little Captain Kirk?
Kirk Cousins?
I mean, Kirk Cousins, the way he's played this year, and Ben Roethlisberger, the way he's played this year, two very different things. And it Kirk Cousins has been very good.
Some people wouldn't want to acknowledge it. That would be a huge upgrade.
It would be. Maybe Sean Mannion. Saw him play on Sunday Night Football the other night. Because some good stuff for the Vikings. Good effort by him.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
No.
We've seen some real just special quarterback starts in this league this year.
We surely have. We'll see another one coming up on Sunday with Davis Mills making his first career start against the Titans. He has not seen the Titans before, so not a stretch to say this will be a new experience for Davis Mills coming up against this defense on Sunday. Joe Rexroad, your keys to victory for the Titans as they take on the lowly Houston Texans, trying to avoid the sweep of the Houston Texans coming up on Sunday.
See, these are kind of keys that almost, and I think in the past I've said like, this can't count because like you should be more specific and this is obvious, but honestly this is the only way the Texans are going to win the game. So my have two keys. One is don't turn the ball over in droves. Okay, like don't give them the ball,
don't throw four
fumble
picks.
It don't throw it to the other team. If you have to punt and play defense, great. You have a really good defense. Punt and play defense. Secure the ball. Don't turn it over. The Titans are 20th in the league at a minus three, but the numbers are stark in terms of when they don't turn it over. I think if they're even, I want to say they're 10-1, even or better. And then, you know, the games they've lost for the most part, they've just had terrible turnover problems. Don't turn it over. And then don't have the big mistake on defense or special teams. Now, don't give up you don't have the cover, which we haven't seen much, so I don't expect it to happen. But don't give up the punt return for the touchdown. We've seen the Titans lose a game in Houston before when that happened. And we saw Bobby April, a special teams coach, fired the next day. Don't give up the 80-yard bomb to Brandon Cooks that gives them life. Like if you just play, keep things in front of you like this defense does, play in the red zone like this defense does and don't give them the ball, then I think you're going to win handily.
Well, and it's also one of those games where, like, the way the Titans ran the ball last week against Miami, like, you should be able to run the ball against this Houston team. And I think we're going to see a lot of Deontay Foreman in this game. I think it's pretty clear that he's the lead back right now until Derrick Henry comes back. Like, they've been kind of, you know, up until that point, kind of going back and forth. It was basically the Deontay Foreman show last week against Miami. They had a lot of carries. I expect him to get a lot of carries in this game as well. And, you know, I know they didn't run the ball all that great against Houston the last time they were out, but they were trailing the whole game and they kept throwing interceptions. So I would expect them to run the ball early and often in this game. Remember, you're taking on a Houston defense now that also doesn't have Zach Cunningham. He's on your team. Pretty good spot to be in if you're the Titans offense in this group. So I think Deontay Foreman and this offense can put up a number against this Houston team on Sunday. I don't think you need Derrick Henry to have a good rushing game against this Texans defense without Zach Cunningham.
I mean, Zach Cunningham is the one guy who can win both games in this series this year.
Yeah.
He's the only person who can possibly be undefeated in the Titans-Texans series this year. And, yeah, that's a big point to make. I mean, he was still on that team. And, that, you know, when the Titans signed him, one thing I was told from someone in the organization in terms of asking about, okay, like, is this a rental or is this a, you know, is this maybe a long term? Like, this could be like your guy. And one thing I was told was, like, the Titans have never been able to block him. So, you know, wait and see how everything shakes out. But the Titans have not been able to block Zach Cunningham. I'll go back to his rookie year, the famous Luke Stocker fullback dive on 4th and 1
by NFL coach of the year, Matt LaFleur. Yeah.
That is right. Matt LaFleur was the OC. Luke Stocker, who then tells us after the game, yeah, I mean, I think I carried the ball once in high school or whatever he said. But Zach Cunningham is, I mean, that, like, it was there. I mean, there was a lot of questions for Vrabel about that play in the ensuing week. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like the play, like they got the look they wanted. But what happened in that play was that Zach Cunningham was an absolute missile who came over and just blew it up. And that's, I think we've seen a fair amount of that from Zach so far in his Titans career. I'm sure he's going to be very active and motivated Saturday, and that is a big deal to take him out of that defense. And now you're looking at operating against that defense in controlled weather conditions with no Zach Cunningham. You should put up big numbers.
I could see Cunningham right now just bouncing back and forth on the one arm push-ups, alternating from left to right. Right now, he's ready for this one. In all seriousness, like linebacker, I could see him coming in here and having a pretty big game. Just lighting people up. I think he might be well equipped to do that.
I would say so. I mean, what he does sometimes, like with like offensive guards, is like, geez, how strong is this guy? He's a good player. I don't know all that went on there, you know, and all fair questions when, you know, when a team kind of gives up on a guy, but I also think, like, when things go this badly, like, there's a lot of guys who were with the Jags over the years, and there was a little bit like, oh, man, is that a bad locker room guy? And it's like they go somewhere else and there's no problem. It's because they were with the freaking Jags.
Yeah.
And it was completely dysfunctional top to bottom. The organizations have gone in recent years.
We had
Robo Joe. There for a second. Yeah. All right. First
Are
time today.
Serious?
Yeah,
first time. I was time making today. Like such an awesome point.
Oh, good stuff from Robo Joe there. Only took until 9:25 today, so that's a pretty good time. Still not as good as Robo Jim or Robo Terry McCormick.
That was like my best point in the entire day. What the heck, man?
Just totally ripped it.
Am I still jacked up?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Oh, man. When we come back, it is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. A standings update. Michelle Knezovic continuing to dominate the competition, but there may have been some movement in the other part of the standings. We'll get to that coming up next. We'll have our picks for the college football championship game, the Titans and the Texans coming up this weekend as well. And as always, more of your thoughts to get to on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737 1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. Got some picks to make both in college football and the NFL as well. Big weekend in the NFL coming up, not only for the Titans, but the final week of the regular season. Lots of big matchups this weekend. We're going to get to them here today on Pigskin Pick'em. Right now, though, we need a quick standings update in our competition. Michelle Knezovic has dominated this competition all season long to this point. But there has been a race for second between Joe Rexroad and myself, and it fluctuates on seemingly a weekly basis at this point. Joe Rexroad, do you have a standings update for us in the competition here today on Pigskin Pick'em?
You seem way more interested in the standings update now that you had a great week. Am I still Robo Joe, or is this working any better?
No, you sound much better.
Really great.
All right, I'm by Caroline's, toy kitchen here behind me.
Keith says Joe Rex froze on the text line, by the way. Joe Rex froze.
Well done, Keith. Well done, Keith. Yeah, I went 2-4 last week. Michelle went 3-3. Neither of us got our lock. Robbie had the big week, 4-2, got his lock, which was Georgia against Michigan. Five points. So Michelle dominating 66-35, 76 points, 10-6 on her locks. Robbie moves into second, 51-50, 56 points, 5-12 on locks. I am 49-53, 55 points, 6-11 on my lock, so I'm still only a point behind you.
Could be a race to the finish here for second place in the competition. With that in mind, let's get rolling here today. Alabama taking on Georgia coming up on Monday night in the national championship game. Georgia favored by 3 in this matchup. Michelle Knezovic, we begin with you. Alabama and Georgia. Georgia favored by 3.
So I know Joe keeps saying after the SEC championship that he picked Georgia to then win the national championship. I would just like to say I tweeted before the SEC championship and said Bama will win, but then Georgia will win the national championship. So give me Georgia. Take them on the money line. Take them -3. I think the dogs are going to roll, and Kirby Smart is finally going to get a win over Nick Saban.
So Georgia gets it done against Alabama, according to Michelle Knezovic. I will go the exact opposite. Alabama +3. I think Alabama wins the game outright. And I think Nick Saban wins yet another national title at Alabama because, it's been a while since he's won one, about a year. So good stuff for Nick Saban on that front. Joe Rexroad, Georgia -3 against Alabama.
Georgia, lock.
Oh,
I'm locking it. I just think it's their time. As Nick Saban's the GOAT, and he has had, obviously, command over Kirby Smart. But Nick Saban... Nick Saban doesn't win every one of these games. He doesn't win every big game he plays. And I think that this just works out psychologically for the Bulldogs. And I just think they're better. I think they're a little bit better football team, even though I understand the quarterback. The quarterback and coach are going to have a lot of people thinking Bama's going to win this game. I think Georgia's a better overall team. I feel great about it.
The Titans taking on the Texans coming up this weekend. Titans favored by 10 points on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Double digits on the road for the Titans. Titans -10. I'll kick us off in this one. The 10 points kind of scares me a little bit, but I'll go Titans. I think Titans are going to come in with a very business-like approach in this game. I think my favorite quarterback in the league, Davis Mills, throws a couple of picks in this game, and the Titans get it done. They win comfortably by about 17 in this game. So I'll go a 17-point win for the Titans. So give me the Titans -10 against the Houston Texans. Joe Rexroad, Titans -10 against the Texans on the road.
It's going to be like 34-17 Titans and total garbage time, and the Texans are going to be driving against a lot of backups on the field for the Titans. It was a perfect opportunity to blow it up if you took the Titans +10. But I say the Titans will hold at the end and will win by 17, 34-17, and cover. So give me the Titans.
Very nice. Michelle Knezovic, Titans favored by 10 against the Houston Texans on the road.
3-3, Mike Vrabel. This is all business this weekend. We're gonna beat Houston by 10 and make that my lock.
Guaranteed.
Locking down on Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans to get it done and to capture the one seed in the AFC this weekend in Houston. All right, big game in the AFC weekend or this weekend that we'll have to say about the playoff picture. The Chargers on the road, taking on the Raiders on Sunday Night Football. Chargers are favored by 3 points in this game. Joe Rexroad, we begin with you. Chargers minus three against the Raiders.
Oh, wait. Oh, I had that wrong. So the Chargers, I thought it was the Raiders minus three. Why did I have that wrong?
No, Chargers are.
Okay, Chargers minus three. Okay. I really felt good about the Chargers when I was getting 3 points in my mind. Robo Joe was like, yes, please. But you know what? I'm going to stick with the Chargers. I'll give the 3 points. I think the Chargers win a really good game, something like 31-27.
Michelle Knezevic, the Chargers favored by three in this game coming up on Sunday night. Who you got between the Chargers and the Raiders?
Listen, I think this is going to be a really close game as well, but I think the Raiders coming off that big win over the Colts. Give me the Raiders on this one.
I'm going with the Raiders as well. I like the Raiders at home. I like the way they're playing as of late. And it's kind of similar with the Chargers. Like, until I see them win a big game that they need to win, no thanks. I'll go with the Raiders in this matchup. So give me the Las Vegas Raiders and Derek Carr to get it done in this matchup at home. We move to the individual portion of the competition here in Pigskin Pick'em. Michelle Knezevic, your first individual select.
We've got the Buffalo Bills favored by 16.5 over the Jets. You know, I know, Joe, you have faith in Buffalo, but we really haven't seen the team we've been looking to see all year. And hey, the Jets kept it really close with the Bucks. They almost beat Tom Brady last weekend. So give me the Jets in this one at plus 16.5.
The Jets plus 16.5 against the Buffalo Bills. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
I mean, I will argue, like, we did see the Bills go crush the Chiefs on the road and go beat the Patriots a couple weeks ago, but that's fine. That's fine. I mean, yeah, I can't argue with someone crushing me to flaky. This extent anyway. Yeah, they are flaky. I agree with that. I'm going to go with another big line. Colts at Jaguars. The Jags are getting 15. I think the Colts are going to win and get themselves into the playoffs, but I actually think the Jags will mess around a little bit and actually show up in this game and make it interesting and ultimately cover. So give me the Jags and the 15.
Give me the Patriots minus six against the Dolphins and make it my lock. The Dolphins are cheeks. Yeah! They're not good. They're phonies on their schedule. The Patriots still have the division to play for. Give me the Patriots minus six. I think they're going to absolutely crush the Miami Dolphins this weekend. So I'm locking down on the New England Patriots. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Steelers at Ravens. Ravens are minus five. The Ravens are, you know, I mathematically have a chance. This is a, you know, this is a great rivalry, of course. Both teams are disappointing, but also banged up. I think the Ravens are the better team if they have a healthy team than the Steelers. But
plus 4.5, by the way.
Yeah, four
plus
and a half.
Four and a half. Okay. Yep. I'll stick with my pick. I'm gonna take those points and take the Steelers playing for their playoff lives. Ben Roethlisberger, I think it's going to be his last regular season game because the Colts are going to win. But I think the Steelers with 4.5, I feel good about that.
I will go in direct opposition to you. Give me the Ravens minus 4.5 against Steelers. I think they'll be able to run the ball in this game, and I think the Ravens win by a touchdown in this game. So I'll go Ravens minus the 4.5. Michelle Knezevic, your second individual selection.
Okay, I had that game too, so I might as well stay on Steelers plus 4.5. Give me the Steelers. I also think they're going to win this game outright as well. So give me the Steelers plus 4.5. You know, we
closing it down big with Ben Roethlisberger's final game.
No losing seasons.
That is true. Michelle Knezevic, your final individual selection. Go ahead and kick us off with that one.
Okay, so Chase McCabe told me not to do this one. Packers are favored by 3.5 over the Lions. And that one made me scratch my head a little, but then Chase was like, well, Rodgers probably won't play, but give me the Packers anyway, minus 3.5.
He's going to play. Now, for how long he plays is
questionable.
A better question, but they'll get in there for a little while.
A mighty team that will not yield will make you sorry for that one. The Lions are awesome.
A mighty team that will not yield.
I do love Dan Campbell.
When they can hurt their own draft position, against a team that's already like in the playoffs, they are amazingly good.
Hey, I mean, listen, Antonio Brown's going to be on the Lions next week. I mean,
yeah, they'll pick him up.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Him and Dan Campbell, what a duo. He would really put him in his place.
Yeah.
So Michelle going coffee. Packers -3.5 against the Lions. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection of the day.
Okay, well, I'm going with the biggie, 49ers, Rams. Rams -4.5, right? Have I got that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a huge game for both teams. But the Rams have a division title in their sights, their home. And I think they're going to win that game by about a touchdown. So give me the Rams -4.5.
Rams -4.5 in a big game in the NFC West coming up this weekend. I will go the Dallas Cowboys -4.5. Against the Eagles. I think the Cowboys got some things they need to work out. I know Parsons looks like he's not going to be out there in this game. That's a pretty big deal. I still don't think the Eagles are really that good. I mean, go watch. They got a lot of Miami Dolphins vibes to me. Go watch their schedule and the teams that they played. It's not great, the wins that they've had. I think the Cowboys win by a couple of touchdowns against the Eagles in this game. So I will take the Dallas Cowboys -4.5 against Nick Sirianni and the fearlessly led Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and hopefully, Jalen Hurts does not have fans tumble onto him because of a faulty railing.
That was crazy.
This week.
Be great for Jalen Hurts to be able to exit the stadium a little bit cleaner this time than he did last time around. And who knows, maybe if the Cowboys can handle the Eagles in this game, that will slow down the Dan Orlovsky, Nick Sirianni, Coach of the Year talk.
I don't know, man. He feels pretty strongly about it. He feels pretty strongly about it. You're right. I mean, their schedule has been just about as dog water as the Dolphins.
Dylan texting in says, Michelle needs to quit this job and work in Vegas. 66-35. Jeez. It's coming from Dylan on the text line.
I'm practically a handicapper. But here's the thing. I don't usually – well, actually, I don't bet money on them, and I feel like that's why I'm good.
Michelle Perry the Greek, I'm telling you.
As soon as I bet money on it, you know I will be so bad. But I will just like to toot my horn really quick. I haven't gone under 500 at all this year. So just had to say that out there. Joe's face.
Pretty good.
I have maybe once or twice.
Yeah, me too.
Just once or twice, though. It's okay. We'll have off weeks.
Yeah, well, apparently not all of us. This has been Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll come back, wrap up the show for the week. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevicker with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Adam from Portland, who wants to weigh in. Adam, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, boys, have a great weekend. I wanted to give my game day prediction. Been listening all week. I'm thinking, and keep in mind before you think I'm just rambling here, I nailed the year that we beat the Pats and the Ravens and the Chiefs. I nailed all three scores. I was like 2 or 3 points off on each one of them. I'm going Titans 31, Texans big goose egg. I don't think they score. I think it's going to be like, boom, we're number one. Now y'all know why we're number one. And I think Houston's going to be super excited for the season end.
So no faith in Davis Mills from you, Adam.
Zero. None.
Adam, we appreciate the call. Have a good weekend, man. So 31-0, Adam says, for the Titans. Keeping the big goose egg on the board there for the Houston Texans. No faith in that Davis Mills-led offense.
Davis Mills has entered the chat. He's kind of he's risen up and he's kind of peering in and saying, "You sure about that, Adam?" Watch it, buddy. Watch it.
He's looking up from Houston, gazing into Portland, Tennessee, right now as we speak. That powerful Davis Mills.
Don't give him some more motivation to chew on.
Think I'm going to be able to watch this game on Sunday, or am I just going to be like mesmerized by Davis Mills' neck the whole time?
I don't know. I mean, I figure you're probably going to be rewinding a lot, right? You're probably going to be, so you're going to have to catch up during commercials.
Under over how many neck tweets from Robbie? Under over five. I'm going to say over five neck jokes on Twitter. Joe?
Oh, I'd say I'd probably take the over on that one too.
I was going to set it at 4.5, but yeah, you think you'll go past five? Okay. Well, like, it's good to know.
It kind of depends on what he does. Under. Yeah, I mean, you know, if he's he's out there just slinging the thing around, yeah, I'm going to be making a lot of neck jokes all day.
I mean, if he sticks his neck out running with the ball, taking a hit or whatever, you know, you're going to make note of that. Hey, real quick, can I just complain to Michelle? Did you just play Kid Rock mangling a great song as that intro music? I just want to make sure I have that right.
To be honest, do you want to know what I did? I clicked a random song because I was editing something, and it was a Sweet Home Alabama, which I just picked Georgia, so I feel like I shouldn't have played that. But I don't know who sings it, or at least this
version. Wasn't that like the Kid Rock crappy song where he samples Sweet Home Alabama, Robbie?
No, you think it's the 1985 or 19, I don't know what year that is. That's the song you think it is, but it was Sweet Home Alabama. That's what it's labeled as, at least.
Okay. Interesting.
Joe's like, Michelle, you are wrong.
Well, now I want to hear the rest of it, because that certainly was not the album version of Lynyrd Skynyrd's great Sweet Home Alabama. But in which I love Lynyrd Skynyrd, for the record. And that was early 70s. Yeah, what is that? Like, is that like a Muzak, like, cover band covering Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Listen,
yeah,
I
gotta hear the vocals.
It was in Ryan Poor's folder of music, so don't blame me.
Ryan Poor comes up again.
Poor comes up more now, and he doesn't work here anymore than he did when he was here.
I actually don't know if there's lyrics, Joe, so this could be pointless.
Yeah, I don't think there's lyrics.
That's so weird. Okay, all right. Well, never mind. I thought I feel better. I thought you actually chose like Kid Rock, because Kid Rock sampled that song and made some crappy song out of it. So as long as it wasn't that, I'm good. Ignore me.
Coy from Clarksville texting in says, stat prediction, Julio gets one catch for 7 yards. It's coming from Coy in Clarksville. One catch for 7 yards for Julio.
I mean, well.
Would not be surprised.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that sounds like it might not be that far off. But what if he has 7 for 85 and a touch? What does that make people think?
Oh, I can't wait for the Monday morning discussion we'll have of the big Julio Jones game, how this Titans offense is about to just eat people's lunch heading into the playoffs.
So that stat, ESPN, and again, this is a tough one to come up with, but they came up with the stat, the best yards per play in the NFL was it the Chiefs now, like 6-1 or something like that?
Yeah.
When the Titans have Julio and AJ and Derek on the field, they are at 7 yards a play. That is numero uno in the NFL. Just saying. Now, a lot of people would correctly say, yeah, but how much did Julio actually have to do with that? And you're right. Not much, other than in the Seattle game. But I'm just saying, Julio Jones, I don't dismiss him as an important part of what's going on moving forward. I think there's an opening right now for a good number two receiver, with Rodgers and Westbrook Akina as a nice 3 and 4.
Heidi from Dixon texting in says, I haven't seen a movie since I was 12. Braveheart was the last one. Don't let them bully you, Michelle. Heidi's not been able to watch a movie since the age of 12, apparently.
Well, I've got Heidi, a Godfather on the list this weekend, guys.
Heidi, just tell us your real name. You're not a real person. I don't believe you for a second.
It's Joe's burner.
Not one movie since she was 12?
Not a single movie since you were
Braveheart?
12. And it was Braveheart. You watch people chopping heads off for 3 hours, and you're like, maybe I'll watch another movie in the 2020s. I don't believe you, Heidi. I don't believe you for a minute. Reveal yourself, Heidi. You are going to do Godfather,
it's you,
Michelle?
Joe. Yes, and I'm going to do Godfather this weekend, okay? I'll do an epic review for you all, just like how I did a review of Portillo's where there should have been ketchup on the hot dog, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, don't open that can of worms up. I'm excited. I am excited for everybody. Actually, like, Brennan is about to be allowed to watch it in our house. You know, like, I get excited for anybody who's watching that movie for the first time. That's how good it is.
Keith on the text line says, Robbie's really sticking his neck out for Davis Mills this week. You bet I am.
There we go. Best protect your neck, David Davis Mills.
Well, look, there was a point this year where it looked like Davis Mills might be in the league for about 2 years. He's played a little bit better since then, so I feel better about him moving forward. But I had to get him in early while I could because I didn't know how long that thing was going to last.
I mean, you know, that first outing from him, it's a rookie. It's a bad team, but it was like, wow, like this actually might be just an atrocious, even as a fourth-round pick. But you know what? You got to give the guy credit. And if he starts zinging it around at the expense of the Titans on Sunday, I expect some, you know, some appreciation tweets from you beyond the neck jokes.
Yeah, I mean, he's really, I think, risen above where people thought he would be at this point. So I'll just keep going with this stuff.
Nice, nice. By the way, Naquan Jones retweeted our interview with him.
He did.
That was an awesome interview. Yeah, check it out. That was a great interview.
If you missed the Naquan Jones interview, you can check it out wherever you find your podcast. Just search Robbie and Rex Road. Spotify, Apple will be on there, and you can check out that interview. Also, check out our streaming devices as well, brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. You can go back and check it that way. We'll be back at 6 a.m. on Monday morning. Joe Rex Road, I would anticipate, hopefully, we're not talking about a Titans loss to the Texans. Hopefully, we're talking about the Titans clinching the number one seed in the AFC. That's my expectation.
One would think, right? We would certainly expect that. But, you know, that's why they play these games.
That is why they play these games for sure. That's going to do it for us today. Hope everybody stays safe out there today. Again, keep an eye on the roadways. Don't go out in that mess unless you have to. We'll be back on Monday morning at 6 a.m. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.